Welcome to the Why Not Today podcast, an inspirational podcast where we celebrate courage, personal growth, and the power of saying, why not today? I'm your host, Leslie Kane, and I believe that one brave step can change everything. Each episode, we share real stories from people who've taken bold action, faced their fears, and embraced the possibility of today. From entrepreneurs and artists to everyday dreamers and doers, we explore the life-changing moments that start with a simple question, why not today? I created this podcast in honor of my father, Patrick Kane, who lived by those very words. Join me as we uncover stories of hope, connection, resilience, and transformation. Whether it's pursuing a passion, overcoming obstacles, or choosing joy, our guests will inspire you to live life with purpose and courage. And just FYI, I do not edit these conversations because I want you to hear the real, the raw, the true, and just it's a real conversation. So I'm excited for my guest today, Tasha Smith, and I always talk about where we connected. Hi, Miss Tasha. And it's kind of funny. And I was telling her this and she has no idea where this is going. So we connected. And this is a lot of connections to get to you, Tasha. I was watching CBS this morning on Father's Day in 2023. And there was a woman on there and she had written a book called My Father's List. And her dad had died unexpectedly by a distracted driver killed him. And she and her brother found his bucket list. And she wrote a book called My Father's List after she accomplished all the items on the bucket list. And so as my dad always taught me, got to ask, the worst thing they're going to say is no. So I reached out to Laura, who was the author, and said, would you be on my podcast? She's like, of course. So she was on my podcast. And then I host a luncheon. She actually came from New York City to the luncheon to speak. And then from there, she introduced me to somebody, Stacey Lauren, who has a Facebook group called Dare. And then she introduced me to several other people, but also Wendy Taylor. And Wendy introduced me to Jenna. And then Jenna introduced me to you. And everybody in that line has been on the podcast, which is kind of fun.
Oh, okay. Well, good. I'm glad we're keeping with tradition.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, I met Tasha. She is a sales coach, and you have literally blown my mind on ideas and things in sales coaching, as I've been in the sales industry for over 30 years and know all these things and done all these things, but not ever seen them laid out as you've done. And it has a system, which speaks to my heart because somebody told me one day I'm a natural systematizer.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate
so
that.
Very good stuff. So tell us, before we get into your courage journey and everything you're doing, who is Tasha?
So I am not in the witness protection program, as my name, Tasha Smith, and my 100% Indian nationality would say. So I was like, what's my fun fact that nobody knows? I was like, most of my fun facts I tell everyone. But I met my husband, Charlie, on eHarmony. He's 100% Chinese. Okay. And I'm 100% Indian. And we are Charlie and Tasha Smith. And how that happened is that Charlie was born in Taiwan and was adopted, and his dad is from Boston, Tom Smith. Okay. And so we actually met on eHarmony back in 2007. So, you know, longer ago. And so that's our little family. So we live in Southern California. I was born in Southern California, stayed in Southern California. You could not convince me to leave Southern California. I grew up as an athlete. So I grew up in a neighborhood with all boys. That'll probably tie into some of the courage stuff that we talked about. And I played baseball, I played basketball, I played hockey in the streets. I ended up playing in high school, both softball and basketball. I played basketball for 2 years in college before I got injured. And so a lot of the way I think about things is from like an athletic perspective. And after I was injured, then I started playing ice hockey, and I did that for a long time until recently. I was finally able to join a half court co-ed 40 plus basketball league, of which I am the captain. So we could do a whole podcast, Leslie, on just that one instance.
Okay, we might need to. Well, and you know what I found in the sales world and team building world and my Mary Kay business is people that have been athletes and on teams are great salespeople and great team members.
Yeah, thank
the
you.
skills you've learned doing that is Definitely. You don't realize all the things we've picked up along the way. You think, oh, I played soccer, I played whatever. But there's so many things we learn that help us with all areas of our life.
Yeah, I love that. That's so good.
So I'm gonna, before we go to your courage, I'm gonna go to your name, which I told you this when we talked, and hopefully I don't call you by the wrong name. But my cousin, who lives in California, is named Tasha. And my aunt in her second marriage, her name is Jane Smith. So if my I guess not step uncle, if my uncle would have adopted my cousin, she would have been Tasha Smith.
That's
But
hilarious. That's great.
my aunt is Jane Smith, and she has to say, yes, that's really my name.
Yeah, so it's
So
just
not as
funny how
bad.
these work out. Yeah.
Yeah. So what does courage mean to you?
I think that there's a few different parts of courage. I think sometimes courage is doing the thing that you know is scary and but it is like the right move and to, move forward and take that action. I also think sometimes courage can be staying in the same place. Even though our anxiety is making us want to move. And I think there's two types of courage, and we can talk
Right.
about both, but I think that being present is also very courageous. And so while I think a lot of the conversations around courage are about taking action and making changes, I do also think there's an element about staying present. Even if it's while making changes, or that is still courageous in some way.
Yeah, I had somebody on my podcast, a friend of mine. And her message of courage was she was going to write a book and decided not to. So her courage was having, even though she'd put it out there and said it, it was just didn't feel right. So I think sometimes courage is, yeah, not doing the thing, even though you put it out
Yeah.
there, but making that decision, what's right for you?
I think that it really is this question about values over feelings. And in a lot of instances where we are called to be courageous, we are actually asked to check our values against our feelings and take action in alignment with our values, as opposed to, is this comfortable? Is this what other people think I should do, or any of those
Some
things?
people, so many people stop being courageous because even though it's aligned with their values, but they don't act on it because of all the things you said. What's somebody going to say? What? And I think there was a call that we were on recently, one of your coaching calls, that somebody said she didn't want to post things on social media because what would people say?
Yeah.
And, I've always gone back to too with all those things. Really, people aren't paying that much attention to us. They really don't care.
I think that's true. And it's like courage. I mean, there is this like sacrifice of like there's this real risk that we do when we take action. And then I think that's what makes courage interesting. So if we're acting and there's no consequence to it, I don't think it requires any courage. I think it's when there is there's consequences and we need to act despite potential risks. I'm a strategist at heart, and so right, there's just like this risk reward thing. But I mean, I think in my life when I looked at some of the examples, I realized that it really came down to choosing values over comfort is where things start to really crystallize as far as what does it mean to be courageous or to have courage?
And I love that definition. I don't think anybody's ever said it that way. I mean, I've had 100 and some people on the podcast, and
Okay, cool.
only one person looked it up, and that was my brother.
Looked up the definition of
Oh,
courage.
well. Yeah.
Normally I would have done that, but your instructions were very clear that it's in your own words.
Yeah, exactly. And it's different. Everybody's is different. And I've had a couple people on more than once, and their courage definition was different the second time.
Interesting.
We evolve and life changes. So,
Yeah, for sure.
you've had a super successful corporate career. You have your own business now. You kind of shared a little bit about your courage jump of letting go, and it kind of relates to mine. I quit my job without a parachute. I'm just like trying something new. And so, let's talk about that. What are some of the why not today moments, the pivotal things in your life that made a difference and changed your life in a whole different trajectory?
Yeah, sure. Is it okay if I tell you a story about how I came to my decision-making process when it comes to
Absolutely.
courage? Okay. So I was an athlete growing up. My mom, not an athlete.
Yeah.
And she just found it very annoying how much practice I had to be driven to. So she had this rule that I wasn't allowed to play two sports at the same time, which is like torture, right? And
Right.
so we had just learned how to play hockey out in the streets, and I was playing baseball, co-ed with the boys, and I was a pitcher. And so I was 13 at the time, and my friend was like, "Let's play hockey," my best friend. And my mom wouldn't let me play until baseball season was over. Well, I made all-stars, and then we kept winning.
Darn it.
And so I couldn't play hockey. And I remember being, at practice. I wasn't present. I was like, "Ah, we keep winning. Dang it. I want to be able to do this other thing." And I didn't stay there and sit in that. And I ended up missing the deadline. I never ended up playing. And because of my age, that was the last year that I would play with the boys. Which means when you play softball, you pitch underhand, not overhand. And that was the last time I ever pitched, which I really loved. And then A League of Their Own came out the same year. And I bawled. And I was like 12 or 13. So it was like a very, like, you're so
Oh,
deep and
hormones.
introspective and everything's heightened and you're just like analyzing everything. And I was like, I truly regret not staying present in that time because then it was gone and that was my last memory of that experience. And that really stunk. And so being a 12-year-old in the early 90s, obviously I went out and bought a No Fear t-shirt. I don't know if you remember the company No Fear. Those t-shirts, they were all the rage. And I had, had a dark green one and on the back. It was like, "Nothing is more painful than regret." Like, I'm 12 or 13. Like, what am I
I
talking
love
about?
it.
But I just remember that being a really defining moment that I never wanted to make decisions in such a way that I would have regret. And I remember Lucille Ball's quote says, I think it's Lucille Ball, it says, "You've regret," maybe I'm totally messing up who said this, but "you mostly regret the things you don't do, not the things you do."
Have you read Daniel Pink's book
Which one? I've read most of his
on
books.
Regrets?
No, that's the only one I haven't read. I've read
Okay, so
everything.
I read it for the first time right when I started this podcast. And it's interesting you bring this up because the first season I talked about it almost every episode. And then just recently it came back up in a discussion about, he talks about, we rarely regret the things we do, but we always often regret the things we don't. And he lives in the DC area. And I think he does. And he did something recently in conjunction with the Washington Post. And it was called Why Not? And it was an op-ed in the Washington Post asking big questions like, why not pay teachers more money? Why
Oh,
not?
yeah, I read that column.
Yeah, why not have left turns? Why do we have left turns at lights and things? And so bigger questions that he asked, but I did reach out to him to be on the podcast and he responded back, just busy. And I know people that they're like, oh, I know him. And then they're like, yeah, not that well. But he lives close to me. So, but yeah,
Yeah,
so
that's
this
cool.
regret thing is so powerful. So
Yeah.
that's how you ask questions or
So I color those that comes to a lot of the conversations. And probably the biggest one, although I wrote down just a bunch of little ones, I figured it would be, I mean, I'll tell you about how I left my corporate job because I think that's the one that people are really interested in. But if we have time, I think we should talk about Buttercup and the decision to adopt Buttercup because I think that there's also a really cool
so
concept
everybody's not
here.
watching. So Buttercup is a dog.
Buttercup is a dog, so my favorite movie is The Princess Bride. If anyone is watching,
Aww.
there she is, and she's a white German shepherd. And that was definitely a why not today moment,
Okay.
which I think is like more of a normal everyday why not today moment. And I remember my coach working with me, like, "Who is Tasha without Emerge," which is my company. And I was like, "What are you talking about? I am Emerge." And she's like, "No, you are not." And I started along the same path of like, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a... And I was like, "Wait, that's not who I am." And then when I started like looking at the impact that I had on people, I'm definitely the like, why not person. Like, I'm the person where if you go, right? I'm like, oh, I can't. I'm like, why not? Right? To the point where I'm convincing, middle-aged moms to play hockey for the first time and they're up by, right? Like, they're just doing things that they always, like, their soul's been like, I wish I could do that. And I'm like, well, let's do it then.
Why not? Well, and that's, I kind of mentioned this quickly with the logo before we started, that this podcast was named after my dad. And the way it came about is I had the idea, it was my why not so moment to do a podcast, no idea what I was going to do about it. And then a few months later, somebody posted a picture of himself on social media on a site I never go on. And it had a picture of him with an eye patch. And my dad had an eye patch and a handlebar mustache. And he talked about all the things my dad did, all his accomplishments. And he said, and we both always said, why not today? And my dad was always a figure outable guy. Like, whatever was going on, he's like, we'll figure it out. My youngest sister has Down syndrome. And when she was born, they were like, people asked if they were going to keep her. She's 42 now. My dad's like, what do you mean, can I keep her? But it's like, we'll figure it out. And they bust her to another county. He's like, oh no, she's, or a city there, she's going to our schools. So just having that, why not attitude is so important.
Yeah, I love that. So
So butter, buttercup.
the Buttercup. So we had a dog, and we've been like Piper, and we've been going back and forth. And I think the reason I want to tell this story as well as the other one, if there's time, is because I think that the why not, like when you interview a lot of business owners, you always look at it in the scope of business. But what we actually do is we look at all things this way. And it's these everyday joys that we have that are outside of our career that are also really, really important for our life. So we have the dog. We've been kicking around getting a second dog for a really, really long time. And Piper's like moping on the couch all the time. And I don't remember what shifted. I think I asked Charlie a question like, well, what do you actually want to do? He's like, well, what do you want to do? Because that's how he always is. And I was like, well, if there were. Everything was equal. Like, do you want a second dog? And he's like, kind of like afraid to say, like, okay, yeah, I do. And I was like, okay, well then let's see about making this happen. And it was early in the process. We started looking online, and I was like, well, the kids and I will just cruise down to the shelter and just see what's going on, right? There was no intent, nothing. And
You can't just
this
walk into a shelter, you know
Yeah, sure. So then,
that.
right, like, and we had seen her online, but they said white German Shepherd. I was like, I don't want a dog that big. Because Piper's about 60 pounds, and that would have been like 80 to 100, right? And so when we get there, she's pretty malnourished, so we couldn't tell, but I was like, oh, she's not that. How much does she weigh? They're like 55 pounds. I was like, oh, interesting. And so we took her back and met her, and then, she just laid right on the ground right in front of my younger daughter, Haley. Put the belly up and it was over. And I was like, hold on, I don't know about this, right? And so they said, well, the lottery's tomorrow at 10. I was like, okay. So the dogs played with Butter, or the kids played with Buttercup. We went to go leave, and I'm in the car and I text Charlie because he's gonna be, I have coaching calls. So he's gonna be, have to do a family emergency at work, get pick up the dog. Or go in the lottery. And Haley was maybe 10 at the time. And I said, I don't know, I'm feeling really, really anxious about this. Like, I wasn't ready to basically onboard a new dog in the house. We just, like, it just happened fast. And she said to me, you're gonna be anxious no matter what. So you might as well do what you want. You might
Wow.
as well do it because you're gonna be anxious no matter what.
Your daughter said that?
My 10-year-old said, you're going to
Wow.
be anxious no matter what. So you might as well be anxious with a dog, basically, than anxious without a dog.
Wow.
And I was like, that is so much truth right there. And I think that little bit, tidbit that Haley said to me, I think that is something that we can all take into almost every situation of
Yeah.
regardless, right? We're going to be anxious. Anyway,
Might as well do it with the
so
dog.
we might as well do it with a reward, so to speak.
Right.
than to be anxious about the dog that got away, or are we going to find the right one? Like, what she understood is me saying no to Buttercup was not going to actually change whether or not I was anxious. Until the dog
And
was in the house, I was going to be obsessing and anxious about what's right. Like, it was just going to take longer, but it was still
right.
going to be.
And if you would have waited, you probably would have magnified that anxious feeling because of the not knowing. It would have, those things expand when we worry about them and how many things that we think we want to do or we put off doing and we spend weeks or months thinking about it and it takes you 10 minutes to do.
I think that's 100% right. So that I do think that was a like one of those everyday courageous stories. But I thought the lesson that Haley shared was really,
Yeah, love
really
that.
important.
Wise daughter of yours.
Yeah, no kidding. I can also tell a story that most people know me for, which is the quitting of the job with no money.
That's what I did.
would you like me to tell that one?
You know what? Quickly, but then share how you've evolved into this business and company. One of the things I loved you said today that I wrote down was when you're not where you want to be, or financially, it's kind of looking upside down, that you invest in education and coaching and how smart that is, and how we often do the opposite. So, I
Sure.
don't know if you can tie that in to
I can
owning a
talk about
business
that.
and, how important it is to have coaching and have education and looking for mentors, the people that can plug into you.
So the this I'll shift the story away from the quitting of the job, boring, based on what you're saying. But I'll talk about my decision to hire my business coach when I was upside down in my business. And so basically what had happened is I worked at my corporate job. I put up a podcast. I got a couple clients. And in my mind, I had thought, okay, I'm going to make at least $2,000 a month, and then I'll leave my job. And we had savings and all that. And then I found out very quickly that I couldn't take more than two clients with my corporate job and my small children. And so I was at a crossroads. And so somebody had contacted me, like, will you coach me? And I was like, I actually don't know when I can. So now I'm like, okay, one of these things has to go. And so I remember talking to Charlie, and he was like, all right, go for it. And I was like, okay. So I went and I put in my notice. And even in the why not today, like, my VP was like, if you wait 6 weeks, I could probably figure out how to lay you off. You'll get severance. And I was like, no, I have to go now. And so I definitely think of that is the point that's courageous. So what ended up happening is it didn't go very well. I left in January. By April, I was making negative $669. And
A
I
month or just in total?
that month, that's the
Okay.
number I remember.
Yeah.
And we had saved, or I mean, we didn't have, I had some runway, right? That was part of the wisdom of leaving when I left and preparing for that move. And so I was like, okay, well, I don't know. I don't want to wait. 5 years is what they said for a business to be profitable. I'm not interested in that. So I need to accelerate this. And so I need a coach. And so I talked to one of my friends. She's like, you're a coach. And I was like, okay, I need a coach who's going to hire coaches. So I'm making negative 669. I talked to Heather. I talked to a few people. Not every source of wisdom is the right source of wisdom. I will say that. Because I think a lot of
Absolutely.
people are blindly following people that are maybe not a good fit for their values or what they need help with. And they're just like trying to get things to happen, right? And that their motivation is fear of missing out. And so there's a few people that were not right. But Heather, I was like, oh my gosh, you are 100% right for me. And so at the time, she was charging $2,000 a month for 4 months. And I was like, okay. And so I decided to pull out $8,000. I didn't have to do it this way. I could have paid monthly. I decided to pull out the 8,000. And I said, I don't want to think about this for 4 months at least. So here it is, and let's go. And I just said, did everything she taught me to do. And I brought my ideas and I prepared and I worked hard. And we went from negative 669, and I had my first $10,000 month 3 months later. And the following year, our first year, we did 82,000 in revenue. And so I met our coachiversaries April 18th. I think we just celebrated it, so that's why I
Yeah,
know.
I think you mentioned
And
that.
then the next year we did 1.4 million.
Wow.
And we didn't sustain that. That was like a word of mouth extravaganza that we fielded, but we've done almost $5.5 million in
Awesome.
sales, in coaching sales. The average coach, I think, sells 55,000 a year. So we're really, really proud of that. But every time something has gone sideways, what most people do is they retract, they pull back.
Yeah.
And they're like, I'm gonna do less, or I need to cut expenses. And I'm like, I only have this much money for this much stuff. And I understand that, but I also understand that's not how you win, right? And as an athlete, if you're down by 2 points, you don't play more defense.
Right.
You play more offense. And so I just think about, what does offense look like in my business? And that means if I have a bad month, or if I have a period in which I'm not doing well, what that means is what I know is not enough anymore. And I just want to get me somewhere else. And so I've always invested in wisdom. And I say that in the context of that, what I'm talking about is when the word of mouth extravaganza declined, that following year we lost $200,000. I first think it's important to share that, because part of this whole world is understanding that if something goes sideways, you're not alone. Every business owner has done that. It doesn't mean you're disqualified, et
Yeah.
cetera. But
And that's
what
business,
matters is
going ups and
how,
downs, and nobody goes up to the from nothing to the top without some ups and downs.
yeah, and like they're more mind-numbing than the non-courageous people imagine. Like what the
Right.
non-courageous people do, they're like, it'll be so bad. I mean, maybe somebody will like say bad things about me, right? And like the business owners are like, oh, that stunk. I had to lay off five friends, which is what
Yeah.
happened. And so my response to that was not constricting, right? My response to losing $200,000 was, sounds like I need to invest $3,000 a month into a finance coach.
Yeah,
Sounds like I
and
need to take the two th the at this point, my contract with Heather was like 5,000 a month. It sounds like I need to increase my contract with my business coach and get a second business coach in order to triage this, right? If I am in a hospital and I have, right, like we don't play defense. We're like, we need to find the best people that know how to stop whatever is happening as quickly as possible, like if I'm hemorrhaging.
right. Just reading a book was talking about the triage of it. Like, what do you
Yeah,
think is
it's
solving?
like, that's not, we're not, it's not the point, place where you're like, I'm not really sure if, right? Like, you're like, I have to fix this as quickly as possible, or else at the trajectory we're going. And the way that I have found to do that is to invest in wisdom. And one of the things that I found, I guess the day, I don't know what people's faith is, this is useful regardless. I typically will. I often will go through a period where I read like one proverb a day in the Bible based on the day of the month it is. And so I must have met Heather on the 7th or something, because proverb, when I had that conversation, I was like, oh crap, well, I guess I probably need to invest in it. Proverbs 4:7 is like, whatever you do, pursue wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, pursue wisdom. And I was like, that is really interesting conversation for today. And I found that to be just really, just yes, right? If I don't know how to get to where I need to go, I need to invest in wisdom, because someone else knows the answer. So I can be confident enough that I know I can make it back, while also humble enough to know that I don't know. And I think that's really hard for a lot of people to hold both of those to be true.
And what I also have heard you said is that not only did you invest in it, but you were an amazing student. Like you, your coaching, if I remember this correctly, you had your coaching call whatever day, and you blocked the rest of the day out to do the work, as opposed to what I've been guilty of at times, and I'm getting better, is filling a notebook. And then the call's over, you jump to the next thing, and you never implement the things that you just learned. And so you were a good student, which I'm sure goes back to your all your athletes. Yeah,
athletic
that's what I was things
going to say.
that
I
you
didn't even know,
practice.
Leslie, that there were people like that that would just learn and not. I didn't even know that that existed until I
I
entered the
know.
online education space, because in my world, you go to practice, you do what your coach tells you, and then you stay extra and you do 30 minutes more of what your coach told you to when your coach isn't there. Right? That is the life of an athlete.
And a
Right?
top
You don't
salesperson
miss
and
your coach. Like when I was in college, they sent mailed us a book of workouts for the summer. You don't miss the workouts. The coach tells you do the workouts, you do the workouts, or you're going to show up at conditioning and you're screwed.
right.
And then you say, did you do your workouts? You're like, ooh. I mean, there's no way I was ever going to put myself in that situation. And so it was really like you never just went to practice and watched. So I didn't even understand the concept of work in that context. To me, work is a contact sport.
Yeah.
If you're
And,
not
you know,
sweating,
owning
you're
a
not.
business is hard work and it takes work, it takes effort, it has, you get the ups and the downs. But in my world, like the thought of a failure is, you know, it may pivot and change and that might not work, but failing is just not even an option, you know, not a thought where a lot of people have that plan B. And I think the course you and I both took, quitting jobs, is not having a plan B. I had somebody one time say to me, his wife was not nearly as successful as I was in Mary Kay. He's like, why are you so successful and she's not? I'm like, because I have to. If I don't work, I don't eat. And if she doesn't work, her husband provides for her, you know? So she didn't have the have to.
Sure. I think a lot of our innovation as business owners, our dedication, our consistency comes from knowing what the money's for.
Yeah. So true. Having those goals definitely makes a difference, what you're working towards. So, well, we
Yeah.
could go on and on and on, but I try to keep this about a half an hour. So, I want a couple other questions. How would you encourage, or let's go back just to your company and how I got hooked up with you. You were on a podcast talking about workshops,
Yeah.
and you did a workshop on how to do a workshop. And I don't have it in front of me, but I printed everything out. I diligently studied. I'm following your lead, girl. And I printed it all out and I set up a workshop that I'm kicking off next month, depending on when you listen to it. It'll be
That's
May of
awesome.
2025. And I literally went by step by step by step. And then you did a social media free challenge a couple of weeks ago and watch that. And again, you get what I love about you is you don't just give the idea, but you give the actionable steps that you could put in place when you got off the call. And
Thank you.
so I've been able to put those things in place. And now I'm working with you on another program. And we will, it's okay with you, tag what you're doing and all your stuff in the show notes if
Yeah,
anybody
sure.
is
That'd be great.
interested and wants to join this journey with me, because I'm learning so much and it's barely been a week, I
A
think, or
week.
2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, I'm super grateful for that. What would you like me to share? What's most helpful for your people?
So, big picture, one line. What do you do? How do you help people? Or I know you've got a sales background, so what
Yeah.
is
So what we do is we have small business entrepreneurs, and they typically have a product or service that is like really freaking amazing. And most of their expertise is in the product or the service. And so they don't actually have sales and marketing skills or background. And so what happens is that they have these really, really smart people who are very unsuccessful in entrepreneurship because they don't have the sales and marketing skills. And so what we are here to do is to level the playing field, is to give access to those entrepreneurs the education for like simple sales and marketing so that they can actually do the services they want or sell the products and really do that in terms of trust, compassion, stability, and hope. I think a lot of people, when they look at sales and marketing, it's always phrased and there's like this icky context, right? Like of convincing. And what we understand is that sales is really leadership, that you're helping people to go from one place to the next place, and that they have problems that are in their way, things that are hard for them. And that what we're doing is we're providing solutions to make the hard things go away so they can get to where they want to go. And so that's so what we do is we literally teach, we help with big picture strategy, so that their actual business plan is in alignment and is set up to be profitable. The second thing we do is we help people with a weekly action plan. So they're doing things as opposed to learning and learning and learning. And then we also teach people the words to say. And most implementation stops at what do I actually say
Right.
in this scenario? And most of our language, I mean, we learn it from our parents. They don't. Like, that's not how we communicate professionally from a sales and marketing perspective. They're basically like, you should do this because it's best for you. And so then we come out as business owners and that's how we talk. And that's not going to help anyone. And so that's what we do every single day. I have my business partner, Karen, and we're both working full time to, help people be able to make more sales, hit their income goals, actually make their business
And you
successful.
do a great job making it simplified. And what I found is with the 30-year career in Mary Kay, they taught us everything. You do this, you get this, you do this, you get this. And I'm very achievement oriented, so I've been successful. And then I started this new business and I'm like, oh, I could do this and I can do this and I don't understand this and what is this? And you've simplified it to the point that I've had so many ahas. It's like, I know how to do this and I've done it for 30 years. It's just called different things. I mean, just today when you're talking about just talk to people. And I had a mentor that said he called it TTP and then TTMP. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Talk to people and then talk to more people.
I love that.
You know, you get so wrapped on the perfect email and the perfect this and the all the strategy. I'm like, just talk to people. And that's where my joy is. And that's and interesting, you talking about your parents, what they taught you. And my dad was an entrepreneur and he taught us how to think. And although it was annoying
Cool.
as heck as a kid.
I'll bet.
Let's do it. Help me with my homework. Well, what do you think? My friends admired that. They're like, I had somebody, a couple of people that said they talked to my father more than ever talked to their father. And he made them think. And a lot of times people don't make you think. So I think I got that naturally. I just need to tweak a few things, which you're going to help me with. So, all
Yeah, we've got that.
right. So how would you encourage somebody else, Tasha, to say why not today, the quit the job, the do the whatever,
Yeah, okay,
start the
so I
business?
pulled this up.
Hire a coach.
I closed the tab. So I thought about something like a pep talk or whatever. I was thinking, but instead, I will just leave you with one of my favorite quotes, which I think most people have heard, but I think it's good to hear it again often. And it's a quote by Marianne Williamson, and I'll just read it. It's a bit long. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I brilliant? Who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, or fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shirking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. And as we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
So true. And that is one of my favorites, and I can almost quote it. And the interesting thing is, she doesn't get its credit for it all the time. Nelson Mandela gets credit for it more
Oh,
often.
yeah, that's right.
Well, so back to my dad and how you connected with my dad. So I wrote down all kinds of things. First of all, he grew up in Southern California as well, San Fernando Valley. And he left to go to college after he was an athlete, was supposed to play football for Southern California or USC, and that's the night he graduated from high school. He got in a car accident, and that's how he lost his eye. So instead of playing football for there, his plan B was he went to Notre Dame and got him on the East Coast. And when my grandfather died in 72, he actually we went back out there. My dad tried to move us all back there, but couldn't then find anything like the community we live in. It's a planned community. He was a planner. He's like, yeah, we're going back to the East Coast. But and then the athlete. Oh, this is kind of a funny connection. Your ice hockey, and we talked about this at the beginning. There's an ice hockey player, famous one, named Patrick Kane. So, kind of fun connections. So, well,
I
thank
love.
you so very so much good insight. And of course, I will share all your contact information, the show notes, a link to the programs you do if anybody's interested and wants to join me in the fun.
Yeah, for sure. Our best bet is to join our Facebook group, Words That Work. And so that's for service providers and network marketers. And if you do end up working with us and you heard about it on the podcast, make sure you let us know. Because that is always fun to know how everyone is connected. So
Yeah.
thank you, Leslie, so much for
You're welcome.
this conversation. It was really fun. I don't get to talk about this stuff very much.
Yay. Well, I'm glad. Well, and everybody else that's watching or listening, thank you for joining us on this inspiring journey. And Why Not Today is more than a podcast. It's a movement to help you take action, live boldly, and make a difference in the life of your own life and the people around you. And every day is an opportunity to say, why not today? So stay courageous, follow your dreams, and know you have permission for the next step starting now. And as I mentioned, I am doing some workshops. The first one is in May on focus and accountability. And then, because everybody keeps asking about this, we're going to do a workshop, a 90-minute how to do a podcast
Oh,
quickly
nice.
and easily without a big studio and all the complications. So be
Love
on
it.
the lookout. Everything you want to know about Why Not Today is under my pod or the face. It's on a Facebook group. It's called Why Not Today Movement. And also, or the Facebook group's Why Not Today Courage Community. But then the website's whynottodaymovement.com. Find anything you want. So again, Tasha, thank you. And remember, everybody, say why not today?
Thank you, Leslie.